Season 3, Episode 8, Cold Heaters. It opens on an old face, Ray, one of Simone's friends from childhood, who was arrested for a drug bust.
Wait, didn't we meet Ray before? We already met Ray.
Yeah, Ray was the dude that was a friend of Bobby's who was like acting like a big shot, and Bobby's like, hey, you better stay away from that place. And Ray said, no, it's no big deal, and Simone kept saying, hey man, stay away from it, stay away from it, and he didn't listen, he ended up in jail. And Ray always kind of harbored feelings that Simone was responsible, even though Simone told him repeatedly to get out of there.
That was during his Bonita days, wasn't it?
Yep, those were the Bonitas. He also basically made a cocaine charge go away, because they found cocaine in his car, and that comes into play in this episode. A cop pulled him over and found cocaine in his car, and Simone got it to be found property rather than... But he comes in and says he's got information on a open case from years ago called the Grandpa Car, and he's got full names and street names, and he's willing to part with that for a deal to get shorter time.
He's a skeevy dude.
And that's really the opening. It's basically Simone and this guy going back and forth about this information, and it just seems like Ray really needs to get out of prison.
Yeah, he's freaking out.
He
doesn't want to be there.
He's wigging out pretty hard. And I've never been to prison, so I'm pretty sure I'd feel the same way. It's almost like he's begging for it to be enough to be let out, and thinking that he'll get out like tomorrow if he tells him this.
I've been to prison.
Have you been in prison?
Mm-hmm. For a class.
Oh.
I took a class in Rikers Island. Super interesting. Some of the fellow students were incarcerated at the time, pending a trial. They were still awaiting trial. That's all I'm going to say.
And this is NYPD Blue Balls, where the Asher Brothers podcast go through every single episode of NYPD Blue. I'm Kirk. The other voice is Kyle. This is the theme song to NYPD Blue. Even though you can't hear it, Kyle, you're nailing it. Absolutely nailing it with the drums there. The crime that comes in is two folks are shot at a bodega.
Not at a bodega.
One guy
you could
is...
Never go, you could never go into... excuse me. You could never go into a bodega because most bodegas have cats in them.
Really?
Yep.
Why do people have cats in their bodegas? Are there no...
Because, one, they help keep the mice away, and they're just kind of, like, accepted.
They're accepted bodega accessories, is what you're saying?
Why don't... Basically, yeah. Like, literally, you could go to, like, any bodega and, like, go to grab something off the shelf, and there could just be a cat there.
Well, what about dog bodegas? Do dog bodegas exist?
Nah, I mean... Dogs don't really sit around inside the bodega. Like, a cat is easy to have in the bodega. It just, like, kind of lays there. It helps keep the mice out, and, like, you know, you just leave some food in the back corner, and you leave it alone. Dog's a little different. Yeah, dude, it's, like, common, it's just common, like, acceptance here.
Just common bodega knowledge. Anyway,
yeah.
At this bodega, one man is dead, the other one has a flesh wound, and the gentleman who witnessed the crime... are saying that it was a black gentleman who was throwing around some racial trash, and
uh-huh.
And the two men who were shot were Hispanic, of Hispanic variety.
Of Hispanic flavor.
Very spicy. And Sipowicz, Sipowicz and Simone both agree that the dudes that were kind of running in the bodega crew were half-loaded.
Uh-huh.
And they were really, like, antsy about contributing to the story. They were like, oh, man, we aren't up to being involved with this, even though one of their buddies is dead and the other one is wounded in the arm, I think.
Yeah, they were very hesitant.
Not very cool with being interviewed. And that's all they have. They don't have a suspect. They don't have a weapon or anything. They leave, and we come back to the house... And Medavoy gets a guy named Peter Cahill. who...
Oh, yeah, this is perfect. The worst fucking case ever goes to the worst detective ever.
Let's talk about this one, because I'm assuming we'll get through it pretty quick. Basically, this guy, Peter Cahill, wants to bring up his acting partner up on assault charges because his acting partner keeps hitting him too hard when they do the fight scenes.
And he basically is like, my mommy and daddy can't go tell this man to stop hitting me, so can you go do it, Mr. Policeman? Because I'm a bitch.
Well, you know, I usually disagree with you on your bitch radar, because you always call Medavoy a bitch, and sometimes he is. But I think you judge him too harshly. This guy, I 100% agree, because the dude can't approach anybody at this production to be like, hey, I don't care who this dude is, he can't be fucking hitting people.
Yeah, and like, no offense, stand up for yourself. If the dude's hitting you too hard, fucking hit him back, or say, hey, stop it.
Like,
there's no need to go to the goddamn police, they have, like, bigger fish to fry, you know?
That one gets wrapped up pretty quick, where...
Yeah, it's so weird, it doesn't make...
It's like they just gave Medavoy something to do, and they had to have something to pad out the rest of the minutes that weren't focused on this and Simone's thing. So they're like, well, we need a C story. What could it be? And then they just threw this idea. And I think they wanted to make fun of actors. Like, they'd be like, look at these pussy-ass actors. And
I think a little bit there was like a little tongue-in-cheek about actors.
I also kind of think, like, the guy who plays John... Like, he was required to be in a certain number of episodes, and they were like, fuck, we don't have John in enough episodes. Let's,
So how do let's have him passing by.
Let's have him pass like, by with this.
You're this dude. You're this other queer dude that I saw in a play.
Well, we don't know that
they're... gay together.
We don't know that the actors were homosexual, Kyle.
Huh?
We don't know that the actors were homosexual.
Oh, that dude who came in? Gay.
You're talking about Peter Cahill? You think Peter Cahill
was
gay?
Peter Cahill was a dude muncher.
A dude muncher, as you would call them?
Yeah, that's cool, man.
The most sensitive way to say a man's gay? You're a dude muncher?
He likes to scruff on the stuff.
That might be a new segment on on NYPD Blue Balls. The gaydar.
Doesn't John make a pass at him?
I
thought John made a pass at him, and I thought he kind of was like, "Yeah, what's up, dude?"
No, no. Okay,
let me see that dick.
No, okay. So the story plays out like this.
Let me see that PA dick.
Okay, here's what happens. Here's what happens. So the guy, he says he wants to file charges. Uh-huh. Medavoy's like, well, we have to talk to the responsible party, so I have to talk to this actor guy. So this actor named Nigel Gibson, who's played by Anthony Head, who is, I mean, a famous face to some, because he was on Buffy the Vampire Slayer for a couple of years.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He comes in and he's like a super...
Huge Buffy fan.
He's like a super British... poofy, like, oh, I'm just trying to have him unlock his potential. Like, he's Kirk, a dick.
If you want to say that quicker, you could say he is just a douchebag.
Okay, he's a douchebag. He's a British douchebag. And...
Oh, we don't have to differentiate with the British or American. I think when people know when we say he's a douchebag, we most likely mean he's foreign.
Most likely he's foreign. That's... Oh my gosh, you're killing it with our politically incorrect crowd. He's a dick about it, and the things he says kind of give Medavoy the impression like he doesn't care about being arrested. He just like doesn't care about anything. It's weird. He leaves the conversation, and John wants a picture with him. Like John crosses by and goes, "Oh my gosh, are you this guy?" And then like. To ask for
well,
a picture.
That's just 90s like humor where they think like all oh, the only thing gay the only thing other than wiener.
hold on. Let's take it again. But
the only thing other than wiener that gay men love more, right? Is that right?
I mean, it's better. You want to take three?
Gay men love the theater more than anything else.
Other than wiener.
Except maybe penis.
So.
There we go. That
nailed it. But yes, and when he takes the picture, he's like, the next one I might have little numbers in front of my chest. Like, he's being quippy about it. He doesn't care. And
he's a total dick. He reminded me of the dude in Hot Fuzz. They pull him over.
That's right.
Cheating, and he's kind of like a dick about it.
Yes.
I kind of think of them being the same person. Like, that motherfucker went back to England, and that was him, you know?
And we'll get into exactly what's going on with Fancy, but Medivoy tries to talk to Fancy, and Fancy's like, this is so unimportant, I don't care what you do.
Yeah, which is even, like, why are we, like, if, as a taxpayer, number one,
I am furious. As a fictional taxpayer.
As a taxpayer, I am furious that we are wasting police resources to help this guy deal with a bully problem. Grow a sack, figure it out. And Medivoy probably goes to him constantly. Like, if we were to film them every day and watch, like a minute of their lives, I bet you Medivoy would do, like, did what Andy Bernard did to Michael Scott when he first transferred to his family. Where he's, like, constantly fucking talking to him. And it's just like, and so, like, at some point, those type of employees just get really fucking annoying. And there's just a day where you're like, yeah. Dude, I don't give a fuck what you do today. Just don't talk to me.
I love the idea. I'm 100% down with the idea that Medivoy is the Andy Bernard of NYPD Blue.
He's the Andy Bernard without the talent. Because, like, Andy Bernard could sing. Like, he could at least sing. He could be, like, kind of funny. But
he turned out to be a bit of a bitch.
Medivoy, oh, he's so, like... He is the definition of, like, white people problems.
You hate Medivoy. We've gone over it again and again.
Oh, this
you
really
hate...
hot girl who fucks hockey, like, professional hockey players, like, wants to have sex with me all the time and just wants me to be kind of a grown-up, and I'm, like, 20 years older than her. But I'm gonna pout about it and then, like, hug her sister half-naked. What? What is your problem?
I'm gonna hug her half naked in my my dad apron.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a fucking apron to making food.
Home. Like, what?
All right. Well, that resolves because he brings the guy in and says, "I don't really know. You have to make the charges. You have to tell me if you're serious about it." But he says he's just trying to unlock your potential. He sees something in you that lights up the dude's eyes. The scene you were talking about before we went on this screed. John does talk to him a bit and says, "Hey, weren't you so-and-so that did the performance at this place?" And he said, "Yes, I was." He's like, "You put on a good show." And he's like, "Thanks." And then as John turns around, he goes, "He was really good." To Medivoy, like, Medivoy has any fucking idea what he's talking about.
Okay. I thought there was, like, a little something there.
There wasn't, like, a, "Hey, so what are you doing later? Let's have gay lunch."
No, that dude was definitely gay.
I'm not throwing it out. It's just there was no definite the dude's gay, but it could be. Anyway, we have more important things. What Simone and Sipowicz are up to. Simone is dealing with Ray, which we'll get into that. Well, we'll make that the last thing. Sipowicz takes point on this. Well, actually, Fancy takes point on this shooting. Because a
pastor comes in, right?
Yeah, a pastor comes in and says, basically, and I love when they do this, because I love to think that this happens, and I'm sure it does, because it's happened more than once on NYPD Blue, where, like, the pastor comes in and says, "Hey, I have a parishioner who has just admitted to knowing things about the crime you're investigating. He wants to come in, but he wants me to come in with him," kind of. And
yeah.
It's cool because, I mean, for TV purposes, it automatically puts the suspect in a positive light. Because it's like, okay, he talked to his pastor. And he's coming in with his pastor. And I felt like this episode was kind of... Because the pastor goes and gets the guy and brings in the gun and the suspect. And the suspect tells the story that he sent his son to go get something from the Korean market. And he went to this bodega instead. He was jumped by these guys.
Yeah, he was jumped by these, like, four Hispanic guys, right, or something like that.
And when he went with a buddy, his son went with a buddy, and the buddy came back and said, oh my gosh, they're gonna kill him. So the guy came out with his gun, met his son halfway, saw that he was bloody, and said, you go back to the house, went to the bodega, had a confrontation with them, saw the guy go for something under the counter, and he shot both the dudes. He shot two
pulled
dudes.
Out his gat and laid them down.
And he mentions, okay, well, we don't have to get that urban. We're not cutting a rap record here.
Rat-a-tat. Rat-a-tat.
I know what you're going for, but you're sounding more Book of Mormon and less 50 Cent.
Rat-a-tat.
Is
that better?
So, they do some investigating because they want to find out if these guys...
Which is their job.
Yeah, which is their job.
They're investigators.
And because the Reverend came in and talked to Fancy... And because I haven't mentioned it, both those characters and the suspect's son are black. The Reverend kind of goes, I told him you would be involved. And he's
there. Yeah, it just makes it easier.
And Fancy gets Sipowicz on board because he needs a partner on it.
Yeah.
And now Sipowicz and Fancy are doing the interviews and the investigating, and I loved it. Like, this is an episode that I was like, man, I want to watch this one again right now. Because I love when Fancy does interviews, and I love when Sipowicz does interviews, especially when they're talking about kids getting hurt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you come to find out, the kid went into the bodega, and the guy started fucking with him. And then the kid got lippy because they were fucking with him, so then they just started kicking his ass. And you could see it in Sipowicz's face when he's talking to the kid. Sipowicz has, like, this face when you know, like, oh, shit.
But the secret thing I like is why he Fancy chose Sipowicz to keep going with him is because I think Fancy also knows that, like, Sipowicz will be okay with Fancy dealing with them because of the familiarity, you know? Because all Sipowicz cares about is getting, like, finding the right answer. Whereas, like, other detectives may kind of be like, oh, like, I can take the lead, or like, oh, let me help you with this, or like, I feel like Bobby may be more of a leader where he would, like, push himself and try to do the leading and the talking. Whereas I feel like Sipowicz does a really good job of, like, kind of taking the back seat and just, like, kind of helping Fancy, but at the same time, like, just trying to find the answer. And help them out. Yeah, anyways.
So this investigation goes on where they do the thing where they coach the guy on what happened.
Yeah.
A lot of the outcome of what they're going to do to this guy is based on his account. In his account, he says, I went down with a gun, and then I shot at him before he saw a gun. But he saw people going for a gun, and he heard people shouting. The interrogations and the investigations, which this is like I said about the last episode, you gotta watch this one because you just to enjoy the tidbits. But they come up with the guy said the phrase Matalo, which is Spanish for kill him, which is my vote for what the title of this episode should have been.
Okay,
because the way they did it was it's called Cold Heaters because they find the guns that the bodega dudes had in the freezer.
Yeah, I forgot who, like, it dawned on. I forgot to write that down, but so I feel like I remember someone being like, oh shit, we need to get back there, because it, like, kind of dawned on them on where they might have put it.
Martinez and Sipowicz go back and re-canvass the store, because Fancy says who canvassed it last time, because the Hispanic dudes, in a lineup, they point to the dad. So, for sure, they have him dead to rights as the shooter. So,
yeah.
Fancy goes, you need to go down to the bodega. You guys need to re-canvas. If there are guns there, you need to find them. And when they go down there, Martinez and Sipowicz have a scene where Martinez, they're talking about the bodega, and Sipowicz kind of pulls out a box and goes, they've been drinking all afternoon. And he, like, puts it together that they were fucked up. And, yeah. Or they're drinking all morning. And then they kind of reconvene, and Sipowicz just looks in the freezer, and he goes, Martinez. And he's like, you want some, what did he say? I think he's like, do you want some ice cream? And Martinez goes, they were in the freezer, and Sipowicz says, what, you don't keep your guns there?
That's why they didn't want, that's why those kids didn't want to, like, talk and didn't want to, like,
spend a lot of time at the place.
Because they were, drunk.
They were drunk, and they provoked the dude. It's not like they were standing there and nothing happened. And once again, like, these scenes are really good and really meaty, but it all comes to Fancy, Sipowicz, and this guy who, I wrote down his name, because they have it wrong on IMDb. Uh-huh. On IMDb, they have Warren Light, and his name is actually Gregory Light. And Gregory Light is sitting there, and they say, it's important to write down that you were scared for your life when the gentleman moved towards something under the counter, and the other one shouted, Matalo, which is kill him in Spanish. He basically kind of says something to the effect of, well, I was scared and angry. And Sipowicz says, don't mention multiple feelings.
Yeah.
That'll just make it confusing. Mention that you were scared. And also, Matalo. And then it cuts back to Mr. Light, and he goes, Matalo. And I was like, that would be a much better title for this episode.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But they went with Cold Heaters. Also, didn't mention it yet, Mr. Light was played by Robert Duquill, who...
Robert Duquill?
Yeah, so you can feel better, but not go to sleep. Robert Duquill was the police sergeant in RoboCop.
Yes, he was.
And I remember seeing his face, and I did that same thing I do all the time, where I was like, I know I've seen the face. And then once you go to the IMDb, best known for RoboCop, and I was like, fuck yeah, fantastic movie. Also, a famous face regarding the next story we're going to talk about.
Uh-huh.
Roberts comes back again.
Mike Roberts, yes he does.
One of your favorite characters who is a scumbag.
Yeah.
He also has a really, he has a really good scumbag couple lines in this movie, in this TV show.
He always does. They always come in and have him say, 7 or 8 borderline inappropriate things.
Like he says something to the effect of, hey, you still throwing scuds at the PAA?
Yeah.
Basically like, hey, you still fucking the PAA? Ha ha! Which is like, okay, you just got here. I went too far. The very end of the episode has a great scene between Fancy and Sipowicz where they both give each other a good job. And Sipowicz, he says something, he's like, you did a really good job with that. He's like, yeah, I think you did too. And the guy, you know, he doesn't deserve it. And Sipowicz says, oh, that wasn't one of those affirmative action investigations?
Yeah.
And he kind of looks at him, he's like, Fancy kind of gets a little upset at the joke, but then Sipowicz is like, no, I didn't think so either. And like, it's, oh man, it's one of those, Sipowicz said something racial, but you know he didn't mean anything by it. And
yeah, it was like, he said it, but he was kind of doing that like, haha, I can be racist, but right now I'm not, I'm just showing you I got humor, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's really weird.
So the other story has to deal with Ray, and the people he'll name for the grandpa car. And the reason they talked to Roberts is because Roberts was the investigator.
The lead investigator.
And they bring up the names to him, and he has no idea. He's like, I talked to that one guy, but the other names I know nothing about, and that guy didn't lead anywhere. He basically kind of just shows up to remind you that he exists.
Yeah.
I think they're going to go to him more in future episodes. I think that must be the reason. But
he hadn't been around for a while.
Because he kind of just shows up and goes, I don't know, I'm still a dick, and then bails. Simone has a moment with Russell where he brings up what Roberts did. He says, yeah, Andy told me that he was banging this junkie informant, and then he, like, took a bunch of stuff out of her place so they wouldn't find out. And
yeah, when they go through what Roberts did, like, he is kind of a fucking scumbag.
And he keeps saying, like, when is Fancy gonna get off my back? And, like, I kind of want to just be like, never, dude. Like,
yeah,
never.
Dude, like, put the whole department in jeopardy.
And you led to this, like, suicide of a person, and then you kind of just, like, were like, oh, well, fuck off to her family, like, her mom and dad, who were like, I don't understand. She mentioned somebody in her letters or her journal. And then Mike's like, I don't know what they're talking about, man. She's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucked
up. Yeah, like, you basically belittled her and, like, ruined her good name and shit.
Roberts, scumbag. Anyway, another scumbag. Another scumbag is Ray, who gives them this information. They run it down, and as they're running it down, they go to pick up a guy, and who else is there to pick up that guy? IAB.
Martens, yep.
Mar fucking Tens. And Martens becomes one of my favorite characters in this episode.
Oh yeah, I love Martens in this episode. He has my favorite. He has my favorite conversations with what's his name?
Simone. I'm gonna do that same thing where I don't run down exactly how the investigation goes, but when they pick up this guy, they start interrogating him with different information. Simone has information that Ray shared with him that seems very finite.
Yeah.
And Martens has information about a police officer.
Yes.
So Simone runs the interview, and then at the very end, Martens comes in with, like, a right hook, if we're talking boxing all of a sudden. He comes in with, give us Kowalski and you walk.
And yeah, he says that to Ray, right?
He says that to Brendan Bickles.
Yeah.
He says, you give us Kowalski and you walk. And after that, Simone kind of gets up in his face and is like, what the fuck? Like, that guy did not have to walk. He was an accessory to that. We could have charged him, and you just gave him a pass because of whoever you have. And then he basically says, well, do you want to give us your information? And he said, no. And then he's like, well, then what's the problem? He's like, you don't trust me to do my job. He's like, oh, and you trust us?
Yeah.
It was such great scenes between Martens and Simone. And that whole investigation is really awesome, and they close it. But the thing that makes it so great is Martens and Simone has a scene afterwards.
Yeah, it's at the end when everything's all said and done.
Where he says to Martens, hey man, I know we were stepping on each other's dicks. I'm glad you got your guy and we got our guys. But I don't want my dude who's in prison to not get his deal because of it. And Martens goes, who do you think he talked to before you? Also, he tried to give me you when you let him walk on that cocaine bust.
Yeah.
And
yeah, Ray was trying to flip
on Simone.
Yeah, to get out of prison. He was going to flip on anybody.
Like, as Martens walks away, well, Martens has one of the best lines I've ever paid attention to in the show. I just gotta find it real quick. He goes, you keep people out of situations and you keep them out of trouble. People aren't bad or good. People get into situations.
Yeah.
And you keep people out of situations, you keep them out of trouble. And so he asks Martens, Simone asks Martens, what am I with that situation? He's like, I looked into it. We're all in situations occasionally. And kind of gives them the I let it pass. The episode ends with Simone going to see Ray, doing an interview on him with the information that he knows, and then Ray kind of goes for like a pity, like, oh, I'm just the worst guy ever because I would turn on my friend. Then Simone gives him a hug and says, I don't want to see you on the outside, Ray.
Yeah, it was really weird. I thought that was like a really weird scene.
I dug it completely. But yeah, it is weird.
It was good. It was good, but I just thought that the way they hugged, and he kind of was like, see you on the outside, Ray. I want to see you on the outside. I was just like, that was a little weird, but it was good.
It also included the line, you would say anything, wouldn't you, Ray? And it's kind of, it was a moment where he's like, no, you're a piece of shit. Like, we're done with the pleasantries, you're a piece of shit. And that, it was an awesome scene. Also, all the Martens stuff. It's a great scene. A great scene. It's a great episode. You gotta watch it. It's so good. Season 3, episode 8. Cold Heaters. As I look at my notes, there's one line that I wanted to say. The line isn't the joke. It's what's going on. Sipowicz and Fancy go on an interview with one of the Hispanic guys.
Uh-huh.
And as they walk in, they know from all the interviews they had that they were saying racist shit and were beating up a black minor. Right?
Yes.
So they walk into the room, the guy says something to Sipowicz. Sipowicz looks at him and then looks at Fancy and goes, "That's my boss." Kind of giving him the notice. By the way, all that fucked up shit we heard about you doing to that black kid, my boss is a black guy, and now he wants to talk to you.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, like, the perfect moment of, like, that guy must have been shitting his pants. Because then Fancy goes hard on that guy in an interview, and it's awesome. Because Fancy does a really good job at the interviews, or interrogations, and...
Yeah, Fancy doesn't fuck around with that shit.
Not at all. And it's so cool to watch Sipowicz go into a scene, and then go, by the way, he's taking lead, and then Fancy goes off on him. It was good shit. Oh, I forgot to mention... I mean, in case you guys didn't know, Mike Roberts is played by Michael Harney of Orange is the New Black and Deadwood.
I think he was also in True Detective first season, too.
Really?
Yeah, I think he's on the boat. Isn't there a scene where he's on the boat with... I think it was a scene when they're out on the boat, him and Matthew McConaughey. Not Matthew McConaughey.
Woody Harrelson? I don't remember that.
What was his name again? Hold on, let me look it up.
I gotta rewatch that season. It's a good show. Anything you'd like to say about Cold Heaters before we end?
Just a good episode. It's a good, solid episode.
Fantastic names, I will say that. We got Peter Cahill. What was it? Gregory Light and Gregory Light Jr.
Yeah.
Reverend, what was Reverend's name? Oh, it was just Reverend. That's easy.
Uh-huh. You don't get a name.
You don't get a name, Reverend. Martens was awesome. Every time I see Martens, I'm happy because I love Martens.
Yeah, he's good. He's one of the only secondary characters that I think makes it all the way to the end.
And he always is awesome. Always. Yeah. Every episode of NYPD Blue Balls and Asher Brothers Podcast is on AsherBrothersPodcast.com, iTunes, Stitcher, where you find a podcast. We're on Twitter at Asher Bros Pod. Instagram, Asher Brothers Podcast. The schedule right now, we just got done with Season 3, Episode 8, but that means everything after that is going to go up at some point, so you can message us and let us know your thoughts, and I'll include it in the episode if I can, before it comes out. Thank you. Have a good one. Be safe. Be good to each other. Peace. Thanks again for listening to NYPD Blue Balls. Footnotes for this show, Hulu has still not put up NYPD Blue on their service. We're waiting patiently. We're hoping it's up soon. We know they have it, and they got great programs, but we're waiting for the Blue. If you still have that NYPD Blue fix, I recommend you check out the book by Gene Kendall, An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue. This dude digs deep into it. I got a chance to read some of it. He takes it very seriously, like we all should, because it's the best show ever. Coming up, we have Season 3, Episodes 9 and 10 next on the recording schedule. If you want to add your 2 cents, just drop us a DM on Twitter at AsherBrosPod or AsherBrothersPodcast on Instagram, AsherBrothersPodcast@gmail.com, and we'll include it into the episode. Let's talk about the show, the best show ever, NYPD Blue. Thank you. Have a good one. Peace.